football podcast called Living the Stream comes to you each week. Streaming recommendations during NFL season, it's not just tongue-in-cheek. Quarterback, defense, tight end recommendations based on opposition matchup. Here are your podcast hosts, J.J. Zacharyson and Danny Carter, Living the Stream.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Living the Stream. I'm J.J. Zacharyson, the late-round quarterback, the latest one of all. And I am joined, as always, by my lovely, lovely co-host, Denny Carter. Denny, what's going on, buddy?
The latest round quarterback is going to be your kid. Maybe Avery will take that moniker later in life. Do you remember back in the day when we used to do like a game of chicken in industry drafts, where it was like the first one to draft a quarterback was the loser?
Yeah, and people still hit me up and they're like, aren't you proud of me? I drafted my quarterback, you know, in the 15th or 16th round. I'm like, no, I mean, you kind of torpedoed your team. So no, I'm not that proud of you. But yeah, I also got thrown off doing that intro saying, I don't know why. I feel like the cadence was so different that my brain couldn't handle it. But yeah, how everything good though, Denny?
Everything is good. I am actually on Mega Tilt, you won't believe this, on Twitter because I cannot stop watching. I've watched 100 times at this point the video of Kirk Cousins, quote unquote, celebrating with head coach Mike Zimmer after the Vikings eked out a win against Detroit last week. Now, for those of you who haven't seen the video, Cousins turns to Zimmer on the sideline when the field goal goes in. Greg Joseph, a streamer, thank you very much, 17 points, but that's neither here nor there. And Cousins, you know, he's a terrible celebrator, just an awkward guy. Yeah, the whole we like that stuff was just really, really cringe. Anyway, so he grabs Zimmer and that looks normal. But then he kind of starts shaking Zimmer and maybe punches him in the chest. Like he just gets like a dog who got too riled up.
Yeah, right.
And Zimmer doesn't like it. And the reason you know is because his facial expression changes and he pushes. There's a clear shove against Cousins. And then an assistant coach comes and wraps up Zimmer and pulls him away. Like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's not do this right now. I don't know. What do you think?
There's a lot of things to break down with this video because of the personalities that we're dealing with here. Because let's start with Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is one of those people, I would assume, who isn't totally there when it comes to like social awareness and just like like just general emotional intelligence, right? I just don't think that developed fully for Kirk Cousins. Just a very awkward guy, right? Yeah. And he's one of those guys who, as a result of that, everyone has I think I might have even mentioned this on the show before, because I randomly will talk about this, but there are some humans males out there who will get so riled up when they're with other dudes, right? And and they will aggressively hit you. Like not just like a little jab, like a little punch in the shoulder, like this is fun. No, they literally will hit you in the chest as hard as they can, and they'll think that it's one of the funniest things that's ever happened. And I've always felt so uncomfortable around those people. And I can always, it's so easy to pick out that dude in a group. You know, if you're at a bachelor party or something, there's always one dude who hits people too hard, you know, like whether you're drunk or sober, like there's someone who always takes it a little bit too far. And I think that it comes down to, again, like the social awareness and like the emotional intelligence side of things. And I think Kirk Cousins is absolutely that dude. And that's the Kirk Cousins side. Then you get Mike Zimmer, who's on the I'm just tough in general side, right?
Yeah, right.
And so Mike Zimmer is going to be one of those people where if Kirk Cousins hits too hard, Mike Zimmer is such a man's man that he doesn't like to feel weak and more vulnerable in those situations, because he probably felt it a little bit too much and he didn't like that. And so his reaction was, get the hell off me. And he literally shoved him away.
Right.
This was not like a joking, like, oh yeah, like we won. No, he was visibly angry.
Yes, he was. That's right. And that's what makes me keep watching it, because I have to see his reaction. No, so not only did an assistant come and wrap him up and and stop the interaction as Cousins walked away. But there was a backup quarterback, a number seven. Is that the guy, the rookie, maybe?
Kellen Mond?
Yeah, it might have been Mond. He comes in at the same time with mannerisms that would suggest clearly that, whoa, this interaction has gotten out of hand. I need to step in before it becomes a thing. Okay. Also, Kirk Cousins, your coach is 65 years old. Okay. I just looked it up. He's 65. He's an old man. You cannot be punching an old man with health issues, by the way, in the chest. Can you not do that to your old head coach, please? I'm not saying Kirk Cousins attacked Mike Zimmer, but I am saying that Mike Zimmer did not like what happened there.
Correct. And then here's the thing. Both of them are not very likable. Like both guys are not likable. So you can't even like take a side, and you can't even like, it's just really hard to be in, to, like you sort of wish that both of them would have just fallen over during this interaction.
Well, no, I've sort of come around on Mike Zimmer. I don't know if Mike Zimmer started doing meditation, yoga, something. So after Greg Joseph, their kicker, missed a critical field goal a couple weeks ago, Zimmer basically told the press, "It happens. Let's forgive and forget." Now, that's not the Mike Zimmer I know. The Mike Zimmer I know banishes you from the NFL, from pro football, if you miss a kick. Yeah, right. Also, Mike Zimmer has been fantastic on the vaccine. He's been the number one proponent in the whole league.
Yeah. So, okay. Maybe Mike Zimmer. Maybe I'm selling him a little bit short. Maybe I need to give Mike Zimmer a chance. I need to invite him over for dinner.
I've been a Zimmer hater for years, but I've started to come around mostly because of the vaccine stuff, and also he can't stand Kirk Cousins, and I can't either.
By the way, your tweet, I'm not getting, you get into the politics and stuff of everything on your Twitter account, but your tweet about Kirk Cousins entering the coming through the tunnel late, wasn't it? That he was the last person to come out of the tunnel, and you sent a tweet that he had to get all of his vaccine research in.
You got to research when you can, and if that's before the game, that's when it has to be done.
I was dying. It was just so good. Speaking of dying, though, I am so exhausted right now. And I know that we talk about I've mentioned, people probably think like, why aren't you sleeping? You're always exhausted on the show. But there was one week earlier in the season where I was exhausted because it was the beginning of the season and I had just done the Labor Day thing. And then I've been fine. And then East Coast Dad's trademark, like it hit so hard. It hit like it's never hit before in week five, where we have a weather delay. Not only that, but during the weather delay, Avery, like right when halftime hits, Avery starts like crouping upstairs.
Oh no.
And I'm like, what is, she had never gotten croup before. Like I never, I remember getting croup growing up, like not growing up, like when I was like a, you know, really little, I just remember like sort of what it felt like. Like I was like two. I knew it was croup right whenever I heard her. But then it like kind of, I mean, I got very lucky. You know, apparently croup really it really affects like infants and like under twos. And she's three now. And so our doctor's like, yeah, she'll probably be fine. Like it's not a big deal. He was very like nonchalant about it, but he was totally right. Like she had just like one night of my wife actually sleeping with her in Avery's bed. But it was the night of the weather delay. And I'm just like, this is going on. I'm upstairs trying to get Avery because my wife was already sleeping. I'm upstairs like figuring out what's going on with her. And then I end up waking up my wife because I'm like, why does she sound like Satan? And I mean, guys, croup is just, it's disgusting sounding. And so then like my wife ends up sleeping with Avery, and then that game goes until like 1 a.m. And then the very next night we get Baltimore and Indy, which was one of the greatest games of the season. Yeah. I mean, Lamar Jackson's that man can he's unbelievable.
The most entertaining player in the league.
The most entertaining player I've ever watched, period. I name a more entertaining player than Lamar Jackson.
I was going to say prime Michael Vick.
Yeah, maybe prime Vick. Like that, yeah. I mean, like, that's the comp probably, right? Like it's got, and maybe like Mahomes at times, like he's incredibly entertaining too. But the fact that you don't know what's going to happen on any given play with Lamar Jackson, and like he's just so... I mean, he just throws his body around.
Yeah. So your sleep has been decimated for two nights in a row. Is
correct? I'm exhausted right now. I'm exhausted. Yeah.
So the weather delay was an attack on all East Coasters that will not soon be forgotten, as I said on Twitter. I actually, can I tell you what I did though? I went to bed. As soon as I saw there was a weather delay, I logged off. I went to bed. I didn't see the second half at all, and I felt pretty good on Monday morning. Now, I made the mistake of watching the whole game on Monday night, and I had a bunch of showdown lineups going, and I needed Tyson Williams to catch a damn pass to catch two passes, and I would have been in business in the fourth quarter. So I tilted my face off the entire game. I watched every minute of it, and I was up until, I don't know, 2 a.m. thinking about the fact that Devontae Freeman got passing down work in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. The way that they utilize that backfield is just incredibly, incredibly tilting. But it was such a good game. I tweet about East Coast dads all the time because it's fun. And, you know, there's like a people rally behind it now at this point. It's just like a fun thing. And then you get like the serious dude with a dog avatar that hits my mention. He's got like a wiener dog in his avatar. And he's like, take a nap, dude. And it's like, guys, it's not that serious. Like, this is not that. I'm not actually like a complete zombie in the morning after, you know, after getting 5.5 hours of sleep or 6 hours of sleep. I prefer 7 or 8. You know, I would like that. I would like 7.5 hours of sleep instead of 5.5 hours. But I can manage. I can manage. And then people were like, just drink coffee, bro. And then I always come back at them and I'm like, I can't even drink coffee, bro.
How do you feel now?
Yeah. Now do you feel terrible about yourself? No.
Right. I would have to be taken straight to the ER if I had a cup of coffee. Yeah. How do you feel?
Yeah. Don't you realize that I'm deathly allergic to coffee beans? But yeah, it's like, guys, when I tweet that stuff out, it's just for fun. Just so everyone knows.
Yeah.
All right. So, Denny, before we get to what happened last week, why don't you let everyone know what's going on over at NBC Sports Edge, the Edge that the cool kids call Edge.
Yeah, and Raymond Summerlin is back.
Yeah, Undertaker.gif with Ray. That's awesome.
Yeah, Ray is back. I never said, you know, I actually asked, Ray, do you want to be called Ray or Raymond? He said, either's fine. I said, oh, man, that's not an answer. Yeah, so now I'm just going to alternate. Anyway, he's back as content manager. He's managing my content. I have my kicker column up on NBCSportsEdge.com today about kicker streamers and then players I would start over them. I'm going to have my Thursday column, the Target Decoder column, up in later this week. And you got to check out our DFS optimizer. It's good. It's good stuff. Check it out, NBCSportsEdge.com.
Did you see my water jug that I just drank out of?
Yeah, I mean, it's bigger than you.
I got a new one. So I had one of those ones that like, it was like 100 ounces and it would mark had motivational lines on it, you know, as you would you would drink it. This one is a full gallon and it's stainless steel. And I actually drink more than this some days.
You are immersed in water bottle culture.
I am. I'm part of water bottle Twitter for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's very hard to say, by the way, water bottle culture.
Yeah.
But first of all, it's a toxic culture because you guys have your fancy stuff and you talk down on people who drink out of empty seltzer bottles like I do.
So you drink out of empty seltzer bottles, like water out of them?
Like this.
So you reuse... You've already had the seltzer that's in that.
That's right.
And now you put tap or refrigerator water, whatever, into that.
I put water for an ungodly number of days. Like, you don't even want to know. I'm sure there's just mold growing out of this thing.
I'm gonna buy you one of these. Buy you one of these.
I won't give in to the culture. I will not. I use the people's bottle.
You have to go to your refrigerator or wherever you get water. You got to do that like 14 times a day at least.
Yeah, that's about it.
What is the point? Just put it all in one and you don't have to get up.
I get my steps in. I'm sorry if I like exercise.
Well, you know? Why don't you just, you should probably just get a Peloton. You won't have to worry about that either.
Oh, whoa.
Steps are good for you actually, regardless. All right, let's look at what happened last week. It was an S show kind of week. It wasn't very good. Minnesota, our top defensive streamer, they had 9, so that was good. The Vegas Raiders had 3, Atlanta had 5, and Arizona had 8, so defense wasn't terrible. Sam Darnold was terrible. He had 6 fantasy points. Mac Jones had 11.5. He was a deeper play. Trey Lance was a normal play. He had 15. I will say this, Denny. I nailed Jameis Winston.
You did.
I nailed Jameis Winston last week, so I was at least proud of that. He had 26 fantasy points. Daniel Jones, he got hurt. He had 5. So a really bad week for quarterback streamers. Tight end, we had Anthony Firkser at 6.3, Cameron Braid at 2.2, Dalton Schultz at 13.9, Zach Ertz 1.7, Tyler Conklin 4.5, Evan Ingram 9.5. So not great. That's probably our, I'm hoping that's our worst week of the season, honestly.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty disappointing. We also added Ricky Seals-Jones later in the week. He scored like 9 or 10 PPR points, but Ricky Seals-Jones had a 40-yard reception called back on a penalty, and I may never get over it. I just wanted everybody to know that.
Yeah, we'll get to Ricky Seals-Jones in a second. Denny, let's start with defense this week. Who you got?
Yeah, Dolphins. They get the Jags this week in Jacksonville, if that matters. I don't know. Miami is a 3.5-point favorite, which is something. I honestly, like, that's just shocking to me that the Dolphins can be favored by more than one over anybody. The Jags are unsurprisingly allowing the most fantasy points to opposing defenses. 3 of 5 defenses that have faced Jacksonville have scored at least 7 fantasy points. The Dolphins, so here's a little comp that I looked into, and I think it's a reason to kind of lean toward the Dolphins here. The Dolphins are the 5th heaviest blitzing defense in the league. The Titans, another blitz-heavy defense, scored 12 fantasy points against the Jags last week. Now, that is with the help of a return touchdown, so I get that. But the Titans had 3 sacks and an interception against Trevor Lawrence. So he doesn't do well. The kid doesn't do well against blitzes so far, and Miami blitzes a lot. So I think we have some hope for a floor here.
Yeah, I like that pick. I mentioned Cincinnati's defense on 15 transactions. I should have mentioned Miami, though. I think I like Miami more than I like Cincinnati. But I don't mind Cincinnati. They're 3.5-point road favorites. They're facing Detroit. Detroit, in terms of adjusted fantasy points allowed, they've been the 8th best matchup for opposing defenses this year. And if you look at Cincinnati, the way they've played, they've really only been below expectation in terms of fantasy points scored and finish against Jacksonville, the 1 week that we stream them on that Thursday night game. But it's Thursday night. Things get weird on Thursday night, you know? Yeah. So I'm not that worried. I think Cincinnati's in a good spot because Detroit's offense is just horrific. So I am pretty confident that they can give you like 5 or 6 points.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
All right, one more.
Yeah, Packers at home. Nope. at Chicago. Green Bay is a 4.5-point favorite. The process that I have in my notes right after that. So I guess the hope here is that the Bears can't go into that run heavy shell that they've been going into once they get a lead, and that Justin Fields will be forced to drop back and throw. Justin Fields has the lowest adjusted completion rate in the league at 56%, which is just abysmal. Let me just emphasize how bad that is. So if they can't establish, I think they could be generous to the Packers defense. Listen to this stat, though. Chicago has a 38% pass rate while leading this season. So we know what they want to do. The issue here is whether they will be able to do it.
Let's move on to the quarterback position. I think the top streamer this week is Taylor Heineke.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in a baller spot. Kansas City is 2nd worst in adjusted fantasy points allowed this season. Number 1 in adjusted fantasy points allowed is now Indianapolis after what they did against Baltimore.
Really?
But, you know, that's skewed because of that Baltimore game. But still, Kansas City, 2nd worst in adjusted fantasy points allowed. Heineke had his first non-QB1 performance last week since becoming starter. It came against the Saints, though, and the Saints are 5th best against quarterbacks in adjusted fantasy points allowed. And then get this, Denny. We always look for the rushing component, the rushing upside for players. Taylor Heineke averaging 5.5 rush attempts per game and 27.5 rushing yards per game so far. There's a high 54.5-point over-under in this game. I love this game in general. You get a Washington secondary that has just been completely torched. If you look at raw points, the Washington secondary has allowed more fantasy points per game to quarterbacks than what Tom Brady has scored this year per game.
Wow.
I mean, they've been that bad, and that's against you know guys like Jameis and like Matt Ryan, and I think they played they played the Falcons. Like just bad, like not great quarterbacks. And the only reason they're not higher in adjusted points allowed, the football team, is because in week one against Justin Herbert, they were good. Yes. Like they were fine. And so it's a really great matchup for Patrick Mahomes to get right. I think that he could throw 6 touchdowns in this game. And so if we see that happen through the air on one side of the ball, then they're going to have to play catch up. Taylor Heinicke's going to have a lot of scrambling opportunity. You got to love this game. So I like Taylor Heinicke a lot.
Yeah. So for NBC Sports Edge, we're assigned a game in the 1 o'clock bracket and then the 4 o'clock. And I get Washington most weeks because I live in the area. And my film analysis of Heinicke is that guy takes off after one or two reads like nobody's business. Like he wants to go. Yeah. And he's not a bad runner. He's kind of fast. He's kind of elusive. I mean, I'm a little afraid he's going to take like a monster shot because he doesn't really try to avoid those shots. But anyway, yeah, the rushing upside is significant there. I have Carson Wentz, who we saw go somewhat ballistic against the Ravens on Monday night. So he's 15% rostered in Yahoo leagues. The Colts are 9.5-point favorites against Houston, at Houston. Again, if that matters. The Colts have the 6th highest total, implied total of the week. That's something that will not happen again, probably. It's a good matchup all around. We know this. The Texans have the 4th lowest pressure rate and the 7th lowest sack rate in the league. So Wentz should have plenty of time to operate. Mac Jones is the only quarterback to not score 21 fantasy points against Houston this season. And Wentz has been decent this year. He has the 9th highest adjusted completion rate and has multiple touchdown throws in 3 of his 5 games as a Colt. Only 1 interception. I mean, how? My one worry is this. Indianapolis has a 52% pass rate when leading. So, you know, they're going to establish super, super hard if they get a lead. But we don't worry too much about that because the implied total says that the Colts should score a lot. The quarterback usually has something to do with that.
I was once in a dashboard confessional cover band called Somewhat Ballistic.
Somewhat Ballistic. That's good.
I had to throw that one out there. All right. Let's move on to tight end. I'm going to start with one who I don't like as much as the other one that I'm going to talk about, but I'll start off. We'll start low and get better and better.
Yeah.
Dan Arnold. He's back, boys and girls. I really wanted to say like bro or something, and then I said boys, but boys and girls, Dan Arnold is back. Denny's boy. And so here's Dan Arnold's journey this year. He was on Carolina. He was my neighbor here in Charlotte. Wasn't my neighbor, but I'm assuming he lived in like an apartment or something in Charlotte, because he knew that his time wasn't going to last a while. Well, so
the Darnold to Arnold era should have lasted 10 years.
So Dan Arnold then goes to Jacksonville. His first game was against Cincinnati in that Thursday night game that we were talking about. And in that game, he ran like 11 routes, and it was the most on the team. But other tight ends like Chris Manhertz and Luke Farrell and Jacob Hollister, they ran like 7 and 4. So like it was all clustered. They were really rotating. This past week, Dan Arnold, who had a really high target share in that game, which I didn't write down, I should have. I think it was like 24%. But in that game, this past weekend, he ran 30 routes, and number 2 in Jacksonville was Jacob Hollister at 8. So we're now seeing Dan Arnold be the tight end 1 in this Jacksonville offense, which, you know, Jacksonville's been a top half team in pass rate, top half team in pass attempts, top half team in tight end target share. So there should be some volume going to Dan Arnold just naturally. Don't love the matchup, though. It's not a great matchup. There's Miami, who they're facing this week, their 2nd lowest in adjusted target share allowed to tight ends, which is a thing that I'm doing this year, adjusting target share. And then they're 26th in adjusted points allowed to the tight end position. And so it's just not a great, great matchup on paper. But the usage is there, so I think that you could use Dan Arnold.
Yeah, he had a 24% target share last week, which is pretty great. All right. So I have a guy who, you know, you might start over everybody except for Travis Kelce this week. I have Zach Ertz against Tampa. I'm kidding, of course, but just barely. Zach Ertz is rostered in 38% of Yahoo leagues. Dallas Goedert was placed on the COVID-19 list. He has the novel coronavirus and will have to test negative twice over the next 48 hours in order to play on Thursday. That is exceedingly unlikely. I think we can pencil in or pencil out. I don't have, how would you say this? Say Goddard's not going to play. Philadelphia is a, you can edit that out after.
I'm going to pencil out Dallas Goedert.
I'm going to pencil out. We're going to pencil. I'm the first person to ever say that. The Eagles are a 7-point dog, so we should see plenty of passing. Also, the Tampa defense is the ultimate run funnel defense with 78% of yards against them coming through the air. That's a league high by a large margin. I have so many good stats on Zach Ertz. I'm extremely bullish, maybe too much so. No team has given up more tight end receptions than the Bucs, and tight ends average 9.2 targets per game against Tampa, mostly because there's just so much passing against the Bucs. Yeah. So Ertz, you know, without Goddard is like a slam dunk. Are you in on this?
I'm in. I think he's a good play. Yeah, he's a really good play, especially at a position that just sucks. I think he's easily... I think he's a top 10 option at the position this week, Zach Ertz.
Yeah, sure.
If that's a way to phrase it. The last guy that we should mention too, who I think is honestly like on par with Zach Ertz. Uh-huh. Maybe you don't agree. Maybe you like Zach Ertz significantly more. But I think Ricky Seals-Jones is someone to definitely target. He saw a 20% target share last week, which was higher than any single game target share from Logan Thomas this year. The reason for that is he ran routes at the same rate as wide receivers on the team did. He actually was second on the team in routes run. Number one on the team was Terry McLaurin. No surprise. McLaurin ran one more route than Ricky Seals-Jones this past week. And so in a game where there's a negative game script, Kansas City is the sixth best matchup when you're looking at adjusted fantasy points allowed. I mean, things are looking pretty good for Ricky Seals-Jones this week as well. So Zach Ertz is probably safer and fine and great. Like, I think that you should play him, but don't just not get RSJ, because I think he's in an extremely good spot too.
He had RSJ had three end zone targets last week, one of which he really, really should have caught, and I'm still tilting over it. So yeah, he's the number two pass catcher in that offense.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, because you got like De'Ami Brown banged up. You have Curtis Samuel banged up. Yeah, I mean, and JD McKissick is probably the third. I mean, that's how ridiculous this offense is right now. And yet we're still saying play Taylor Heinicke.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It is something. Also Adam Humphries might be interesting.
Yeah, that's
just
true.
Just for those who might be desperate at wide receiver.
Yeah, that's true. So to recap, you got RSJ, Dan Arnold, Zach Ertz at quarterback. We have Carson Wentz and Taylor Heinicke. And then at defense, we have Green Bay, Cincinnati, and Miami. All right, Denny, let's get to these questions.
All right.
First question is from at GoldenGram41. Why are NFL coaches the most stubborn to adapting to new coaching strategies / analytics compared to other sports? I'm assuming it's the extremely high T nature of NFL coaches.
Well, maybe this person is referring to Brandon Staley, the head coach of the Chargers.
Yeah,
saying
awesome.
Yeah, saying recently, like, all the things that we've been wanting for years and years and years for head coaches to say, like, you don't need to establish a run in order for play action to work.
Yeah,
there was something defensively too that he said. Anyway, those are our Chargers, I will say.
Yes.
Going forward, I actually bought a Chargers hat.
Did
after
you?
I saw the comments. They're my Chargers now. I've been a fan since 1969.
I joined one of those leagues. Ben Gretsch runs it. It's this Omni fantasy thing where you pick teams instead of players and you pick them across sports. And we tried it last year, but then COVID happened. So sports didn't happen. And so we canned that league, but then we did it again this year. My roster's probably not going to win it all. It's like in third or fourth right now, but my two teams that I drafted from the NFL, both the LA teams, I went with the Rams and the Chargers, and I got them kind of late. So I'm very excited about the Chargers. I got them very late. So I am also, not just because of Staley, but because of this, I'm very in on the Chargers.
Right. Good. Good. I'm glad we're on the same page here. So, to answer the question here, I think that there is incentive to fail in a traditional way in the NFL. And coaches know that, and it's ingrained in them because they came up through the league. And it's a very conservative league. I mean, both politically and from a play calling standpoint and from an operational standpoint. And so you can fail traditionally and keep your job. If you fail untraditionally, that's when you get the can, the axe.
I think that's a really good point. And I also think that the mentality, you know, to this person's, to James's question and to his point about saying that it's high T, I think that what you're saying there, I know you always joke about high and low T, Denny, but like the point of that is that these people are tough guys, right? Mm-hmm. They're people who are so as if they have all of the answers already because they're not as vulnerable, right? And when you're not vulnerable, you're not opening yourself up to being wrong and to humility and all that kind of stuff. So, and look, a lot of these people are in the positions that they're in because of that. Let's be honest, because they're just so incredibly assertive and driven that they just go for it and they're able to achieve that. It's very hard to find very vulnerable people who are in positions of power like that. And so that's part of the reason why I think, you know, you get a situation where you don't, you know, we're starting to find more and more Brandon Staley's, and like, even like, remember John Harbaugh was about to lose his job. Like a few years ago, John Harbaugh was literally on the hot seat and he was about to get fired. And then he embraced analytics more and they drafted Lamar Jackson, which also helps. And everything changed. And now he's still looked at as one of the best coaches in the league. And he's a very likable person. And so it's interesting that, like, you know, I we do see coaches and teams evolving a little bit, but I do think that the nature of these coaches being more high T, if you will, absolutely still plays a role in this.
Yeah, that's a great, I mean, you just psychoanalyzed the typical NFL coach. I think that they're the part of the mentality of NFL coaches, both head coaches and on down the line, is that you can't tell me what to do. Like, you think you know better than me? Have you stayed up till 4 a.m. every night of the week studying game tape? No, you haven't.
Right.
So don't tell me what to do on fourth down. I know what to do on fourth down. I've been in that position.
Right.
You can't tell. And all, you know, all an analytics advocate is saying is like, your life could be easier. Like, you know, if you want to win, here's how to do it. But that mentality, nope, you can't tell me. Just because you said that, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, but put yourself in their shoes too. You know, I'm not even saying this from the perspective that like they should automatically embrace everything that a nerd sitting in front of a computer says, right? Like, think of it from their perspective where they've put in literal decades of their life into a sport where they bang their body around and it's destroyed them physically and emotionally, right? And then some idiot, Ben Baldwin, shout out Ben Baldwin, you know, someone like Ben, who's putting together all these great algorithms. And by the way, he has a great fourth down bot that everyone should follow on Twitter. But Ben's putting all this stuff. And that's probably a little bit frightening to someone who's put in so many hours into this game and have been beaten up and destroyed in this game. I mean, think of it with like anything that you do in your life that you've put a lot of effort into, and then someone comes in with this new way of doing things. Of course, you're going to be defensive. Like you can either look at it and be, again, vulnerable and open, and honestly, to have that humility is very difficult as a human being. It's just difficult to do, and it's understandable for these coaches to like feel the way they do. Like, I understand why they feel the way they do. You know, I think that there needs to be more from up top, especially like operationally going to these people and saying like, hey, look, this isn't here, and explaining to them like what this is. It's like, we're not replacing you. Like, you're still a very, very important piece to all of this, but this is going to help you be even better.
That's a really good point. I do think that, yeah, there is like a fear that the football guys are going to be crowded out eventually. So you said that head coaches shouldn't do everything the nerds say. I say actually the head coaches should do everything the nerds say.
No, it's understandable. But like we see these kind of like mechanisms all the time, like on Twitter and like fantasy Twitter, or like a good example is through scouting, right? There's still a lot of people who are the majority of people are scouting with film and scouting through their eyes. And I and a lot of other people have built like models and stuff. And we're saying like, this guy's good, this guy's not good, because there are certain trends within this data that's very clear, you know, like with wide receivers, you want guys who broke out early and had good, you know, sophomore year production and like stuff. Like you can look at this kind of stuff and say, look, I'm not saying I have all the answers here, but this can help you with your own decision making. And then you see a lot of people on Twitter embrace that. A lot of great scouts, they're like, oh, that's interesting that you feel that way. But then there's also older scouts who are more stuck in their ways, who just reject it completely and think that it's absurd that you're doing this through a model. Right. And that's just what happens with people as they age too, right? Like you just become more and more stuck in your ways, and that's just how it is. So I think there's just a lot of things at play here.
The model for anything, you know, we'll stick with the draft evaluation here. All the model is doing is saying, I've figured out what's most important and what is most predictive in how a player will turn out in the pros. And here's what it is. Now, this player looks good when you factor in these factors, right? When you run him through the model. So maybe check him out a little more than you usually would. All you're trying to figure out is, you know, what's important. And I don't think that has been like the guiding light of evaluation in the NFL.
The other thing that I would say too, and I know that we're going like on a tangent a little bit here, but the other thing too, is that you can, when you're having conversations with people about this, and I think that there's this notion that the established way is flawless, right? And if you can somehow show those people that it's not flawless and there's ways to improve it, then you can have a good conversation about how you improve it. Because you look at the NFL draft, you could just say, look at the hit rate, dude. Like the hit rates of picks and how accurate teams are and front offices are. It's like, why are you trying to maintain that, right? Like, why are you trying to maintain like a 50% hit rate in the first round when there are ways to improve that and get better? So that's another way to sort of approach things. But let's move on to the next question because we've talked a lot about this.
Yes.
@mana_dork. I know that you're a level 5 vegan now or whatever. Well, but okay, look, I'm not vegan. I eat dairy, gluten, and soy free. I don't know if you guys heard about that. No. But what is your take on spam?
What is your take on spam?
I don't know if I've actually ever eaten spam.
I've never eaten it. Why would anyone eat it?
Right. It just doesn't look appetizing.
It looks horrific. What is it?
I'm never going to eat spam. I will not eat spam.
What's in spam? I'm looking it up right now. Spam only contains 6 ingredients: pork with ham, salt, water, potato starch, sugar, and sodium nitrate.
Yeah, it sounds disgusting.
Yikes! I mean, I guess you put that in your underground nuclear bunker, right?
Sure.
And you know, you're happy to eat it in that case. Otherwise, I don't know.
We might need to do a live stream of Denny eating spam.
Come on.
I think the people need it. I think the people need it. So everyone @CDCarter13, tell him that he needs to live stream eating spam. Okay.
Furious.
Next question is from our friend @SwervinStruven. He says, would you rather lose a fantasy match? This is interesting because I think there's a very clear answer here. Would you rather lose a fantasy matchup on Monday night by A, coming back from an insane deficit and falling just short, or B, your opponent coming back from an insane deficit and barely beating you? This tweet sent from the bottom of a lake, since both happened last night.
Oh, no.
I think that the obvious answer here is your opponent the worst way. So the way that I would rather lose is me coming back but falling short, as opposed to my opponent crawling back and beating me.
Yes, for sure.
Because you're rooting for – anytime that you have the guys playing on Monday night, it's a lot easier to manage and deal with mentally.
To root for them.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Instead of watching them march up and down the field, watch crazy play after crazy play and think, oh, my God, I can't take anymore. Yeah. No. The answer here is clear. You want to come short, but you do not want somebody to be down by 70 points and have Mark Andrews and freaking Lamar and beat you by 3.
Yes. Yeah, there were some really, really bad beats yesterday across every league. Next question is from @_AdamKS_. JJ, when will you join the bidet brigade? Apparently that's a thing now. We welcome you with open arms. It's time to remove your take lock and accept that bidets are at the top of the poop chain. Guys, I've not sat here once on this show and said that bidets are bad. Like, since when am I anti-bidet? Oh, I'm not anti-bidet. I think bidets are great. I just don't have one. There's a difference. Like, I think a lot of things are great that I don't have. I just don't happen to have a bidet.
Right. You like Teslas. You don't have a Tesla.
That's right. I would love to have a Tesla, yeah. But I don't have a Tesla.
Yeah. I think what they're saying is you're generally anti-French. You know, you call them freedom fries. You refuse to eat a bidet.
refuse to eat bidets, yes.
Oops. Yeah. I have one. I don't use it though.
Yeah, Denny's the one who is not part of the bidet brigade when he could be part of the bidet brigade.
I could. I'm not doing that stuff.
Next question @RyanSeal13. If you could become world class at darts, ping pong, or billiards, which would it be?
Oh man, that's a good question. Not darts. Get darts out of here.
I think it's not. So this is here's my take on this. I have a very clear cut answer to this too. Okay. And I think the clear-cut answer is billiards. And the reason why is because you're introduced to the social settings where there's a pool table or something is a lot more frequent than ping pong. And not only that, but you can play pool more. It's more accessible during like a social gathering than ping pong is, right?
That's right.
So you want to be really good at that. This is the way that I feel about basketball. And my biggest regret in childhood was there are sports that I played with. Like I just played sports all day long with my friends and all of that. And then there was like a time period when I was in like early college, late high school, where I played a ton of basketball and pickup, but I never played a real recreational league. And it's one of my biggest regrets. I wish I would have actually learned. I was very competent and like actually got decent playing just because I played so much. But and then I'd stop playing. I don't play basketball anymore. I tried to play once. And it was just a complete disaster because when you don't have actual mechanics and you go and you try to play basketball, you're terrible at basketball. And but basketball is the most accessible sport for adults to like get into and play. And so I just wish so bad that I would have been good at basketball. And I feel the same way about billiards.
That's a good, I can see that sort of, but I mean, you have golf. Golf is the most social sport.
No, you're right. Golf is probably the top. You're right. From that, but I'm saying like if you're joining like a rec league of some sort or something like that, it's easiest to just go to If I were good at basketball, I would play basketball like 4 times a week. I'm so jealous of people who are good at basketball. Why don't I just? I'm sitting here saying this. Why don't I just go get better at basketball?
You're not going to magically get better. You're not going to wake up one day and have a jumper. You got to go work on it, man.
I was like, again, I would play pickup so much. And I don't know if you guys have sports like this. Like, do you have a sport where like your mechanics are terrible because you never like learned how to, I mean, golf is sort of that way for me too, because
tennis.
Okay. There. Yeah. So golf is sort of that way for me too, because I played baseball growing up and through high school and stuff. And golf though, golf and baseball don't really go hand in hand. No. And so like my golf swing is still very baseball-esque, but I play enough golf to where, I could shoot high 80s, low 90s and be competent playing golf, right? And like, that's probably an above average score for a regular adult male.
Yeah.
But if I stop playing golf for probably 10 years, like I have basketball, I'm going to be ass. I'm going to be terrible at golf. Sorry to the kids.
So yeah. Well, speaking of ass, you need to get your ass off the Peloton and onto the basketball court. I want you out there at dawn and I want you shooting 100 free throws.
Do you remember the show Made on MTV?
Not really.
You don't remember the show Made?
When was this on?
Like when I was in like middle school, high school. It was a show where people would, like a high schooler would really want to become something. So like one kid, and it's always like the polar opposite of what they are. So like one kid was like in Glee Club and like, and then he wanted to become a basketball player like someone who was like really nerdy, like wanted to become a ladies man. And then they get a coach to come in and teach them how to do these things, and they document it for like, 60 days or whatever. And then they become that thing. And every time it was actually on like Paramount TV. We had like a free trial of it And so I watched an episode of Made like maybe a month ago, and this kid tried to become a basketball player. And my God, I forgot that after all of these, like, kids get taught how to be better, they're still so freaking bad at what they do at the end of it. This kid's just like airballing shots and stuff in this game that he finally, but yeah, I feel like I need to be on Made to become a basketball player.
That's what you do if you were on Made. You say, I want to become a basketball player.
Yeah, man. I'm so jealous of people who played in high school and go and play pickup and just like, and especially remember, you know, like I would play at the park all the time and we play pickup. And there'd be that 50-year-old dude who would just, you know, he'd have his short shorts on and he would just destroy everyone, right? I want to be that guy so bad.
You can still be him. You're young. You can still do it. I swear to God, you can do it. I believe in your potential.
You sound like Gary Vaynerchuk with that. Oh, you're still, have you ever watched any Gary V stuff?
Is he a hockey guy?
No, he's an entrepreneur. Anyone listening to this, you guys understand, but who knows Gary V? But he's become more motivational than anything else, but he's an entrepreneur, owns a media company and stuff. And he's like grinded his way through and he's like very motivational from like the grind standpoint. But there's like a bit where like he always like someone be like, hey, I'm 33 or I'm 34 years old and I don't like my job, but I don't really know what to do. And then he's always just like, you're young. You still got 70 years left, dude. Like you're young. You know, you could be, I would say the same thing if you're 60, like you're going to live till you're 120. Like it's just, and that response made me think of that a lot. Anyway, let's go to the next question. Cause we really have gotten off track here. Whoa, what? Go ahead.
I would choose pool as well. Yeah, even though I love ping pong. I mean,
me too.
Really, yeah. Was quite obsessed with ping pong for a while.
My first couple of jobs out of college were at ad agencies, and they both had ping pong tables at both of the gigs that I had. I used to come home from work literally dripping sweat.
Oh, really?
Like literally drip. My wife would be like, and I was with Amanda at the time still, and she was like, what did you just run a marathon out of work? Like, why are you sweating so bad?
I mean, it takes a lot to get sweaty in ping pong.
I'm one of those people though, with like 5 minutes of moving around and exercising, I start to just drip sweat.
I mean, but you gotta be busting your ass the whole time to
break. Oh yeah, we had very intense games of ping pong. Yeah. And we would play for a literal hour at the end of a work day.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, it was cool. It was fun. Next question at Clark3179. Can Denny actually name five foods that he likes? I'm taking the under.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yes.
Go ahead. Let's name five foods then, Denny.
I like tuna.
Tuna's the first one. Tuna?
I like tuna. I like almonds.
Tuna and, okay, keep going. All right. Tuna, tuna, almonds.
I like peanuts. Not too much salt.
That's like the same thing as an almond.
Oh, okay. All right.
At least diversify a little bit.
Okay.
You're in the same family.
I like chicken.
Okay.
All sorts of chicken. So yeah,
chicken's good. Chicken's good.
I like a good gyro.
Some people call them heroes.
Or a gyro, as the Greeks say.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I love that. I could just think Greek food. A Greek salad, a village salad. Oh,
some grape leaves. You like grape leaves?
No, don't like those.
Aren't those? Isn't that Greek?
It is. Yeah. And the Greeks love them. But
dude, they're delicious. How do you not like grape leaves?
I never got into them. I don't know. Did I name five? I'm sure I did by now. I mean, guys,
give us a snack, like a non-almond, like almonds. Yeah, they're a healthy alternative to a snack, but give us like a snack, man, like a good snack.
A good snack. Do grapes count?
Like I get it. I eat like I try to eat very well, but I still eat like blue corn tortilla chips and stuff.
I like those. Okay,
there you go.
Here's one I've liked recently. All right, and then we'll go on the next one. Mini carrots, gotta be mini, in guacamole.
Okay, that's a good snack. I like that snack. You like avocados then?
I do. I'm an avocado advocate. Yes.
I eat at least one avocado a day.
Excuse me?
I eat, but not at least. I should say I eat probably an avocado a day.
That's, first of all, that's expensive.
It is avocado. I had to take out a second mortgage for the avocados. Yeah,
I was gonna say
it's crazy. Yeah, No, I eat avocados. It was part of my plan that I put together back in January. And basically what I do is I every day, so every morning I wake up and I have a smoothie. You know, how crazy is it? I'm still hashtag smoothie strong.
You know, I don't like to think about it because I told you that it wouldn't last 6 months and it's lasted 8 years now.
Yeah, it's been a really long time. So I do smoothies in the morning. And then for lunch, I usually have a protein from the night before. Like I made like chicken or ground turkey or something. And I will take that and mix it with an avocado. And that's usually my lunch and then I eat an apple with it.
Oh man, that sounds good.
Actually really good. You guys should try ground turkey with avocado. Just mix it up. It's really, really good.
That sounds so good.
Right, and it's so simple. It's so easy. And you can have ground. I mean, it's easy to make the ground turkey for like days and then just have the avocado and just mix it all up.
Good thing about guac and avocado is it fills you up. Like it doesn't, right. Like, it doesn't leave you wanting more. You're like, oh wait, my belly is full and I don't want Doritos now. I mean, it's a good thing.
Yeah. You got to work on that omega-3-6 ratio too. It's important.
I take fish oil. Does that count?
Yeah, that's good. Next question, at Meaty Carter, for the dads, how often do you mow your lawn through autumn and winter, or do you leave that job for that first sunny day in the spring?
I don't mow my lawn. I pay someone to do that.
Yeah, mine broke. My lawnmower broke this past year. So this year I have had someone cut it for me, which is not a normal. I kind of feel embarrassed by that, but it's actually, it's been kind of nice. I won't lie. It's been kind of nice. But I will say, you don't need to do it in the most of the fall and into the winter, especially if you're in like where Denny's at in Maryland. I mean, you can't be firing that thing up in 15 degree weather.
It's cold as hell. The grass dies. It stops growing. I don't know. What does grass do in the winter? I don't know. All I know is that I have an arrangement with a guy who comes here. And so we moved, as you guys know, last January to a single family home with a significant yard. I don't really know how large it is. I know as a dude, I'm supposed to know that, but it's a large yard. I would not be able to mow it myself in under like 2 hours. So with a push mower. So I pay someone to come cut it every 3 weeks.
There you go. 3 weeks. Does it get long?
This time of year now, in the summer, it's like every 10 days.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Next question is at Davis Nguyen TMN. If Denny was able to use his NBC connections to finagle his way to a guest appearance on the hit NBC show This Is Us, what would his story arc be? Never seen the show, but I've seen enough commercials to know it would be very dramatic. So let me throw it out there. A couple things. First of all, This Is Us. We watch it, and it's one of the best shows on television.
Really?
It's so freaking good. So well written. You guys should watch it. The other thing I want to say, shout out to my friend Garrett. He listens to the show, I think. But he is the writer. He's the one who wrote and created Ordinary Joe, that show that's been out there, like the promos and stuff.
Yeah.
Also very good. We've been watching that too. I promote both of these shows, and I say watch both of these shows. I'm assuming Denny has never watched a single episode of This Is Us.
Well, no, but if it's on NBC, it's good enough for me. You know,
there you go.
And I advocate everybody, you know, subscribing to Peacock and watching those shows. No, I haven't seen. I don't know what my arc would be. All I know is this. My cousins watch This Is Us and have for many years. What is it? 5 years old, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah.
They tell me that they basically break down every other episode. Like they have like an emotional meltdown.
I have cried multiple times watching that show.
And so I'm thinking that this listener is correct in saying that it would have to be extremely dramatic. Maybe something would happen where I have an actual heart attack while watching football while tilting too hard. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's probably what it. Yeah, and there's also like football storylines in this because the family that's featured in the show, they're from Pittsburgh, and the dad who dies. Or who is dead. I mean, this is not a spoiler. Trust me, it's not a spoiler. The dad, he grew up a Steelers fan and stuff. And so they're all Steelers fans. So there is a football angle to this where you could seamlessly fit into the show, Denny.
Okay. Well, NBC, if you're listening, hire me for that show.
You guys should watch that show, though. I don't mind watching shows that are tearjerkers, that are that like really get. I think feeling that emotion is really good. Like, I enjoy feeling that emotion.
Everybody needs a good cry once in a while, and if you didn't, you know, roster T.J. Hockenson, you got to find another way.
Yeah. Next question, at FF Zinger, how many days till will it take JJ to recover from back-to-back tragic games for East Coast Dads? We talked about this, but yeah, it was very, very rough. Very, very rough. Next question, at Steve _ Lister. Is it too early for peppermint latte questions?
Oh my God. This is atrocious. Get out of here with that. We're 90, 60 days away.
Look, but back in the day when I was drinking coffee, I was all about some peppermint lattes.
Yeah?
Yeah. And I would look, I didn't mind pumpkin spice lattes.
Okay, I've had pumpkin spice lattes. They're not terrible. I mean, they're very sweet, and that's not my thing. But my issue with the lattes of different seasons is that they come out too soon. They come out too early. That's the issue.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And you can't, you know, pumpkin spice lattes are one of those things. You know, there's people who go to Starbucks every day, and it's fine. I'm not judging you. But the people who go to Starbucks every day and get a pumpkin spice latte, that's overload. Like, that's... I don't know how people do that. That's you are a special kind of person.
Talk about a second mortgage. My God.
Yeah, exactly. That's worse than avocados. Daily avocados. Next question, at Sad Melander. Would you rather watch 3 hours of Smash Mouth football with no passing, or listen to 3 hours of Smash Mouth the band?
Oh, that is funny.
So there was a TikTok that I came across. That was this one girl who was at a local, like clearly in like rural America, a local sort of festival, and Smash Mouth was playing, but all of the instruments and like the mics and stuff were so jacked up from like a technical standpoint that you couldn't, I've never seen a more disastrous, like, and they were just singing through it, but I've never seen a more disastrous situation in my life. So that's where Smash Mouth is now, because they were singing All Star at this little festival.
Well, beyond a little festival, they performed at Trump's inauguration.
They did. That's true.
They did, and it was something to behold. I will say, wow. I would love to be in the room with the band when they got the invite, when someone from the campaign called and said, "You guys want to play?" U2 wasn't available, so would you like to play inauguration? And they were like, I guess, but no, we can't turn this down, we're Smash Mouth. So go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, that's another talent that I wish I had, was being able to do a Trump impression. It just made me think of it, because when you said that, I could have just been like really good.
What would it be like? We love Smash Mouth. One of the greatest bands in American history, something like that.
Yeah, not to get political. We're just talking about the way he talks, folks. That's it. That's it.
That's right. I don't have any feelings on Donald Trump. And so Smash Mouth, I'm watching Smash Mouth football for 3 hours over listening to 3 hours of the band.
Next question. This is going to be the last one, because we are running out of time / this is going to be controversial. Mm-mm. At Steven 0128, what cereal gives the best milk when you're done? It almost sounds like they're like lactating. if you say anything other than Cinnamon Toast Crunch, you're wrong. Also specifically asking this so late round QB can give us his weekly reminders he's dairy and gluten free. Well, guys, I don't know if you heard me earlier on the show, but I am dairy and gluten free and soy free as well. But number one, Steven, you are 100% correct.
No.
And this is the chalk choice, but it's the right choice, right? This is week five Derrick Henry, but it makes sense. It's Cinnamon Toast Crunch, 100%. And I will say this, people are going to at me for this. I don't care. Another low-key decent one, and it's Fruity Pebbles. That's another low-key decent one. Oh. Because and everyone hates the Fruity Pebbles when they melt and they become so soggy. I'm into it. I'm into drinking that. I'll drink it all day. I'll eat it all day. Give it to me. Give me the soggy Fruity Pebbles.
Oh my God. This is the worst take ever. Wow. Okay. I have to move past the Fruity Pebbles thing. I would go with the milk that you have after Captain Crunch.
Which is insane.
Really?
By the way, no. Why? Eating Captain Crunch is fine. Like, I don't mind Captain Crunch, But no, I mean, there have to be like mini needles in Captain Crunch.
No, I don't care that it tears up the roof of my mouth. I'm all in.
Why do people eat that?
I haven't had Captain Crunch in a decade. Because once you reach a certain age, if you eat one bowl of Captain Crunch, you gain 11 pounds. So
I'm pretty sure that's true.
I'm not eating it. I'm not drinking the damn milk after it's over. So I can't say that I'm doing this, but I am saying that my memory is that Captain Crunch gives you some good milk.
All right. That's going to do it for today's show. Denny, why don't you let everyone know where they can find you?
At CDCarter13 on Twitter. You can find my stuff, all my content from the Content Mines on NBCSportsEdge.com.
You can find me guzzling some soggy fruity pebbles on Twitter. I would live stream it, but I'm dairy and gluten-free now, so I'm not going to do that. Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know if people knew that or not. But I'm on Twitter at LateRoundQB. You can listen to my other podcast, Late Round Podcast, anywhere podcasts can be found. Denny, did you do a tilt montage this week or no?
I wasn't in the mood. I'm sorry, everyone.
Okay. It's fine. I just wanted to make sure because I didn't think I saw it coming through my inbox. I clearly didn't. It's fine, Denny. No pressure. No one's going to care. No one's going to at you about it.
Oh, I've already been at it. People say, oh, the tilt montage is going to be crazy this week. I was like, it's non-existent. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, get owned, everyone. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to Living the Stream. We hope you enjoyed the internet podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes now. It won't take long, it's fast. For more fantasy football info,